Welcome, everyone, to Voice of the Valley here in the Horn Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studios. I'm your host, Dave Bell, 428-9494. That's the phone number, 928-428-9494. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're having a good day. It's just us again. So, same rules apply. No matter what I'm talking about, you change the subject. Go for it. This is that weird time of year because I've invited all the candidates, all the local candidates, state candidates, federal candidates. I have not invited President Biden or former President Trump, although I probably should. Got nothing to lose. But, you know, I've invited everybody else. And the reality is most are waiting till closer to the start of early voting. That's normally the case. But everybody kind of knows candidates are coming. They're planning their appearances, etc. So I get these weird days where there's just nobody. And I tried to fill this one a couple times, and everybody was like, yeah, I want to come on, but I'm going to take this day instead, or I'm going to take that day. It is what it is. Before I get started, can I go on a rant real quick? Buying trousers, slacks, pants, whatever you want to call them, depending on your age, for men is such a pain. Especially here in the Valley. Is for men. Women, you guys have options. You've lost a couple options, you know, big and talls, lost, you know, Josie James, but men really don't have many options when it comes to clothing, and big and tall men, very especially, do not have options. Now, I've always been tall, and since I've gotten married and become very, very happy, and here at KATO and Double R Communications, I've gotten even happier. The stress level is nothing compared to when I was over at the Courier and editing three newspapers each week, not just one. That stress level, I was eating myself. I never took a lunch. I worked 12 hours a day minimum. That was a slow day, was 12 hours. Most days was 14 to 16, 7 days a week. And I was working 7 days a week. Now President Biden changes the overtime rules. I would have qualified. I'm glad he changed them, but boy, that would have been nice back then because I could have used that OT. But I'm much more relaxed. I get to eat lunch. I'm happy in this job. I'm happy with my coworkers. I was happy with my coworkers at the Courier. I want to stress that. I had a great publisher, fantastic reporters. Work life was great. The stress of the job was not. Stress that. So if you see Tom, give him sympathy. Tell him you're on his side. Tom Botus is the editor for the Courier right now, and I tell him the same thing. I feel your pain. I know what you're going through. I'm with you. He has my total support. And I said the same to all the editors in the WIC Communications pantheon that were there. Now they're not because they've closed those newspapers. Benson and Douglas and they were under the same pressure. None of us were exempt. So, yeah, my, you see Tom, tell him, hey, on your side, buddy. He's doing yeoman's work. He's a good man. Anyway, so now I'm big and tall. Just tall before, now I'm big and tall. So I recently went to Tucson, got a couple pairs of slacks. And modern, you know what? These young people, I'm going to go on a get off my lawn rant. These young people and their pants. First of all, too snug. And these are big and tall pants. Still too snug. This whole skinny pant thing, No. It's unnecessary. don't do it. Secondly, they wear them too short. So these are my size pants, but I'm looking at them, I'm going, yeah, but my ankles are exposed. We used to get made fun of in grammar school if you wore the, you're wearing flood pants is what we called them. I don't know what you called them out here. That's what we called them back in Illinois. And you were teased. Generally, that was because you outgrew your pants in grammar school. But now the kids wear them that way. And I'm like, kids, 30 years old. So skinny pants that it's called a break, that break high. I don't like it. So I've got two pairs of these pants. I'm wearing a pair today, and it's just uncomfortable. It's just me. It's me. It's an old man rant. I get it. Still. All right. I want to talk about something I don't normally do. I did when I was at the Courier. I don't now. So for those of you that don't know, I don't just do the news here on KATO, which I do. I also write stories for GilaValleyCentral.net. That's the website for the radio station. So the stories I do here, I put up on GilaValleyCentral.net. You can go look at them anytime and read them. If you prefer to read, I'm a reader. I like to read things. So my wife and I go back and forth. She's a TikToker. She likes videos. I'm a Reddit person. I want to read it. That's just me. So I did a story, and since I left the Courier, because the website is not my responsibility. I post to the website, but it's not my responsibility to maintain it. Whereas at the Courier, it was my responsibility as the editor to maintain the news side of the website. So I always paid attention to things. If people put comments up on our website, or if they put comments up on our social media, I paid attention to those. I wanted to make sure nobody was using profanities, that nobody was slandering. Would that be slander or libel? Social media, I'm not sure where it falls. Slander is speaking, libel is in print. I guess social media would be libel. I guess. I'm not a lawyer. So I would make sure, I would curate those, make sure that things were going the way they were supposed to. Never stopped anybody from disagreeing, never stopped anybody from arguing their point. Just made sure, look, here's the deal. You don't get to use profanity in your argument, and you don't get to say something that is not provable. Nah, you could express an opinion, but you can't say, you know, oh well, Jim Bob Joe Smith Frank Jim is a child molester. You can't say that, not unless that person Jim Bob Joe Smith Frank Jim has been arrested, charged, convicted of that. That's the only way you get to say that. So I made sure of that. I really don't now, because the overseeing the website and the social media really is not my responsibility. But I happened to, for whatever reason, I don't know why, it came across my social media feed that there was a comment on a story I had written. And it was not a bad comment. I want to stress this. It really wasn't. But I did want to address it because it was something that I think the average person needs to think about. So I did a story about how the University of Virginia has a political science major, and part of that, their research group looks at races across the country and basically handicaps them, takes a lot of data in account and handicaps, and doesn't do a ton. It just says, look, this race is leaning Republican, this race is leaning Democrat, this race is a toss-up. And they look at all the races. And the reason I like it is it's the University of Virginia. If it was the U of A or ASU, there's a vested interest perhaps in looking at the Arizona races, but the University of Virginia has no dog in an Arizona fight, so it really doesn't care. They're looking at the data. So I like those kinds of things when there's a dispassionate approach, just looking at the data. And the story said, the story was about two things. One, the U.S. Senate race here in Arizona has gone from a toss-up to leans Democrat. It's taking into account Gallego versus Lake. That is not a guarantee. Lake has a primary challenge. Lake is facing Mark Lamb. I am of the opinion, this is just my opinion, I think that that handicapping is correct if it's Gallego versus Lake. I think the average Republican would rather not see Lake. I think the MAGA Republicans very much want to see Lake. That's not a pejorative. That's how they describe themselves. So I think that handicapping is correct, because I think most moderate Republicans would probably go Gallego over Lake. Independents would. Democrats obviously would. But if Mark Lamb, were to win the primary, I think that changes that race. Republicans hold an edge in Arizona in voter registration. And even though abortion is on the ballot, which it will be, they've already got the signatures. They're just gathering more to be safe. Even though that's going to be on the ballot and that drives Democratic voter turnout, I think Lamb does better against Gallego. The question is, can Lamb make it out of the primary? And I'm not sure he can, because primaries tend to only get the most extreme voters. The people who really, 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 really care. They're the ones who vote in a primary. The average person who doesn't care, who only votes every 4 years because there's a presidential election, they don't vote in the primary as a rule. And abortion is not on the ballot in the primary. It will be on the ballot in the general, which means MAGA tends to do very well in primaries. MAGA candidates don't do very well in general elections. It's the problem the Republican Party is dealing with right now. And it's a very real problem for the Republican Party, as evidenced by every election since 2016. So anyway, that was one piece of the story. The other piece of the story was our congressional district, CD6. Our Congressman Juan Ciscomani is running for re-election. He's a Republican. Right now, the presumptive nominee, because again, there's a primary, is Kirsten Engel, who ran against Ciscomani 2 years ago. One of the closest races in the nation, not the closest. Boberts, I think, was the closest up in Colorado. But one of the closest races in the nation, because we are in the most competitive district in Arizona from a voter registration standpoint from 2 years ago. That race, Ciscomani Engel, has gone from, it went from leans Republican to toss up. And I'm looking at the data and I'm going, that kind of makes sense to me. It does. We're in a competitive district. Ciscomani holds the edge because he's an incumbent. Incumbents always have an edge when running for re-election, mainly because incumbents get in the news cycle. I'll do stories about Ciscomani when he's doing something involving Graham and Greenlee counties. Well, that's, for lack of a better term, free advertising. Even though I'm not advertising for him, It's getting his name out. People see that he's doing something, etc. So he has that advantage. Angle has a fundraising advantage. She raised much more money than Sisqomani in the last quarter. Sisqomani has more money on hand, but Angle's fundraising has been doing better. Again, the big key is abortion on the ballot. Abortion driving Democratic votes. Abortion driving votes by independents and moderate Republican, especially moderate Republican women, who don't want to see their rights stripped away. And they tend to vote against the people who want to enact an abortion ban. So there was a comment. And this was the comment. These tilted poll takers use their hand-picked, quote, findings, end quote, to add credibility to their publicized propaganda. Compared to actual results, their accuracy is extremely low. I don't disagree in general when it comes to pollsters. That's why I like to look at dispassionate polling. Every campaign contracts for polling. Guess what? Those polls always show those candidates doing exceptionally well. I don't care. I also don't care when a poll is taken far too far out. Heck, I don't even care when the poll is taken a month out. I care about the results. I do care about exit polling. Exit polling tells me way more than pre-vote polling. I don't disagree with that. However, as we said, there are other factors here. So looking at the most recent voter registration report, which came out April 1st, in our congressional district, let us see. Democrats have 159,654 registered voters as of April 1st. Republicans have 184,704. Which says, well, Republicans have the advantage. I mean, what is that, 25,000-ish? Yeah, you got a 25,000 voter advantage. Republicans absolutely should. This should be leaning Republican all the way. However, 166,656 independents. People who have not chosen. Now, there's 410 Green, 3947 Libertarians, and 2900 No Label Party, which can't even get a candidate. Okay. That 169,000, did I read the wrong ones? I probably did. 184.7 is Republican, 159.6 is Democrat, and where's my independents? There they are. I'm doing this on my phone, which is really tough. 166.6 independents. That's a lot of votes you can't account for. That's a lot. And in a race that was extremely close to begin with, in a race where you have a major issue on the ballot, in a race where one candidate is now outstripping the other in fundraising, I think toss-up is reasonable. This isn't coming in with an agenda. I think this is a legitimate one. And look, I've said it. I said it to the chair of the Democratic Party when she was on the show here, the state Democratic Party. Sisqomani's been good to the district. Nobody's saying he's a bad guy. I think he's done a terrific job, frankly. Honestly, look, our previous congressman, Tom O'Halloran, was a friend of mine. I mean, a legit friend. He and my mom knew each other for decades. They were both police officers in the same area. He went to the same parish as my aunt and my cousins. We weren't Catholic. My aunt was. She converted. We were in the same neighborhood. I've known the man for 20 plus years, 30 years. He's legitimately my friend. I think Ciscomani's done more for Graham County and Greenlee County than Tom did in his first term. Now, Tom did more for the tribes. O'Halloran focused on tribal needs, and those needs are severe and desperately needed. He just put his priority there. Ciscomani has put his priority in small towns. I'm not saying one is better than the other, but I live in a small town. I don't live on a reservation. I'm looking at a congressman doing stuff for me. That's the reality. So I'm not saying Ciscomani is a bad guy. In fact, the opposite. I happen to like him. Doesn't mean I dislike Kirsten Engel. I like her too. She's a fine lady. I've enjoyed my conversations with her. I've talked to her multiple times. I enjoy listening to her. I think given the data, it's reasonable to think this is going to be a close race. That's all. So anyway, I don't pay attention to comments anymore. I really don't. You can like what I write. You can dislike what I write. I don't care. Have at it. And I don't pay attention because I just don't have space for social media silliness. I just don't. But I do want to get facts right. And even though this is a research group looking at it, handicapping, it's not any indicator. Ciscomani could blow out Engel in this coming election, or Engel could do the exact same. I don't know which way it's going to go, but I think it's fair to say that race is a toss-up. It was a close race before. I anticipate it being a close race again, given all the other things that are coming into play. Heck yeah. That's reasonable. Doesn't mean you don't like, you can still support your candidate. Support your candidate. I think we have two good ones, personally. I thought at last election, I was really pleased. I see some of these other congressional races across the state, and I'm like, oof, I am so glad I don't live in Mojave County anymore. I just am so glad, because there's no way I could vote for Gosar. I couldn't do it. If I lived in District 2, would I vote for Eli Crane? No. No, I wouldn't. I don't know I don't know what district it is, but... and he just got a cancer diagnosis, too. The guy, he's out of Yuma. I can't think of our congressman out of Yuma. Shoot. I just can't. But I don't think I'd vote for him either. Democrat. I'm not picking on Republicans. These are guys I'm not particularly enamored with. I'm good with both of our candidates. They're reasonable people. They're good people, and they're focused on the district. Okay. But I think it's fair to call it a toss-up. All right, I'm going to head to break. 428-9494, back right after this. Welcome back to Voice of the Valley in the Horn Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studios. I'm Dave Bell, 428-9494. That's the phone number. Just us today. Just us. Speaking of which, there was a reporter I was watching. He was on TV. I was watching a clip. Vaughn Hilliard, good reporter. Did a lot of the reporting on the Cyber Ninjas audit of the election that resulted in literally nothing except wasting Arizona taxpayer money. And he made a comment, and he didn't really kind of stress it in this way, but I listened to him and I thought, boy, I hadn't made the connection to these points. But it's pretty smart. And if I may paraphrase, or if I may take what he said and expound upon it, in 2016, we were told, do not trust the media. Fake news. Anybody that disagreed with any reportage was encouraged to say, fake news. You are fake news. I had one fake news encounter. I was in Wilcox covering a what would now be called a mega rally, but at the time it wasn't. It was Patriots or America First or something. I don't know. But it basically was a mega rally, but before mega became the term. And I was down there covering it, and I was talking to the organizer, nice guy, and we were chatting, and he got all his points out and interviewed him, and I was taking photos. And as I was taking photos, one man stepped in front of me. Not unusual. Happens a lot. I try, because I am tall, because I am big, I try to shoot from the back using a zoom. I try to not get in people's way. Sometimes I can't avoid it. But I try not to, because they're there to learn. I'm there to cover. So I don't want to impede anybody's whatever they're there for. So this gentleman stepped in front of me, no big deal. I just moved and I'm shooting again, and he steps in front of me again. And I'm in this Ramada. It's a park down in Wilcox. Is it Keeler Park? I think it's Keeler Park. It's by their pool. So when you first come into town, you hang a quick right by the gas station, go down a little bit like you're going toward the high school, and there's a park right there. And there's this big Ramada there. And they were having it under the Ramada. So I'm moving my way around the Ramada, kind of like a clock. And as I'm going in this crescent-shaped direction, he keeps following me and stepping in front of my camera. And after he did this, I don't know, maybe 4, 5, 6 times, I finally said, sir, please, I'm just trying to work. And loudly turned to me and said, screamed, you're fake news. You get out of here, and just decided to go after me. Now, at that point, the organizer was like, hey, knock it off. He's here to cover. Let the man do his job. I appreciated that very much. That was my one, and he had to actually be kind of restrained by others. And I'm like, the police are here. I'll just go get them if I need to. I don't want to. I want you to enjoy your rally. I want you to take part and engage and absorb whatever's being said and do whatever it is that you're looking to do out of this event. I'm not there to stop it. I'm not there to judge it. I'm there to cover it. Doesn't matter if I agree or disagree with what's being said. Doesn't matter if I voted for that candidate or voted against that candidate. Doesn't matter. My job is to say, here's what occurred. Nothing more, nothing less. That was my one experience with fake news. I haven't really had any since. Last time for the governor's race, it wasn't Lake. It was Robinson. I forget who. She was. I forget her name. But the other major Republican candidate was in town, and it was over at Kempton Chevrolet, and she was speaking. And Tom Botus, who I think was here for like 2 weeks at that point, got hammered by some guy accusing him of fake news and how dare you, and your newspaper is just a rag, not worth wrapping fish in. And it just, what? It's not Tom's fault you don't like coverage. If you don't like coverage, you don't read it. I don't know what to tell you. It doesn't make it fake. Tom's there just to do the exact same thing. Just tell the truth. Here's what occurred. Not judge it, not like it, not dislike it. Here's what happened. So we were told that in 2016, and we've kind of gotten to that point. Nobody trusts your outlets anymore. If I don't agree, you aren't trustworthy. No, you just don't agree. 2020, we were told, don't trust the elections. I don't like the results. Can't trust them. We have two supervisors in Cochise County on trial right now because they didn't trust the results of an election. An election they oversaw and elections that elected them. Well, that part of the election was okay, but the part where I didn't agree with the result, no, can't trust that. You're on trial now because of that. 2024, we're being told don't trust the justice system. Can't trust the FBI, can't trust the courts. Can't trust the prosecutors. Can't trust it. It's how you lose a democracy, folks. All right, that's it. I'm out of here for now. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, you guys have a great day.